On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit. How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Audio Whiplash number 89 for a Thanksgiving long weekend, or at least here in Canada. Someone who is not here in Canada, my co-host today, Jill McSween, how are you?
Good, how are you? Wishing I was there for the long weekend.
I'm a little stressed, and we're going to get into that. What will you be doing for your first Canadian Thanksgiving not in Canada?
I have a midterm on Monday, so I am going to learn all of the bones in the body, every single groove and hole that goes along with them.
Do you remember off the top of your head? Oh, no, there was a horrible, horrible old pickup line that I can. You want to play along for a second?
Yep.
Jill?
Yes?
What's the longest bone in your body?
I hope it's the femur.
It doesn't have to be, baby. Is the
Oh, that's terrible.
That is awful. Now I'm
that
a little
laughed. That was yeah. good.
Now I'm a little confused because I thought that our Thanksgiving always fell on what was still an American long weekend, just not their Thanksgiving. Is it not Columbus Day down there or something?
It is Columbus Day.
But you have an exam anyway.
Day off.
Ooh, that is some bullshit.
Yeah, we don't. I guess the universities, I don't know if this is just one of those government holidays kind of thing or like a retail holiday with the government officials. No, the schools still go.
Okay. Now that's
or at
a
least
little.
The universities go. Yeah. I don't, maybe even like the, you know, the elementary and the high schools, I don't know, maybe they're off for Columbus Day, but all I know is that I get to go because my professors have all sent out emails saying, just because it's Columbus Day, you'd better show up to class.
Yeah, and that's why it's not just class, it's a test, so.
It is. It is a very large exam.
Okay, it's a little like Easter up here, right, where some places get, everyone gets Good Friday, but then some places get the Monday, some don't, you know, it's, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm going to put the cards on the table for everybody. Captain Blowhard is supposed to be here this afternoon and is not. I assume his appointment getting his asshole waxed has run longer than expected.
Obviously.
Yeah, you could see why that might take a while.
Gross. Yeah, I was
going to
make a comment. I was like, you know what? I don't actually want to touch that.
So it is the Friday of what for me is a long weekend. And we were supposed to do an episode of Audio Whiplash. And he texted me at about 1:45 when he was going to arrive at about 1 and said he wasn't coming. And so I'm scrambling. I wanted to get something out. The week had been set up to do things a certain way, and it just kind of was falling apart. And so I'm like, what do I do? What do I do? And I'm like, I'm going to text Jill. And I'm like, who's going to be available at 2 o'clock on a Friday? I'm like, Jill's in school. She might be. Their schedules are weird, maybe. And I'm like, because if she's not available, I got to do an Unforced Errors. It's going to be a solo show. I want to be done by 3. I kind of need to be done by 3, and I'm like, I'm going to give her till 10 after 2, And then I got to just go. And I'm walking around. I'm pissed off. I'm trying to get things ready. And at 2:08, Jill texted me back. And I was like, oh, thank God. We're going to be able to do this thing. So thank you, Jill, for stepping
in. No problem. I literally just walked out of the lab. We were doing a practice practical for the exam on Monday.
Okay.
And I saw that and I was like, this seems urgent. I will reply immediately.
Well, as urgent as the Audio Whiplash podcast gets.
Well, I mean, that seems pretty urgent.
Of course.
I don't know.
Our fans appreciate it. Our listeners appreciate it. I appreciate it, more importantly. We haven't done one of these, and I realized after I sent my last text message to Jill, I may have been slightly dishonest with her, and we're going to clear that up now with all of you listening. But it's more that I forgot. I wasn't misleading her. This is the first show that we have done since Vegas. And it's Friday of a long weekend, at least as we sit here and record this. Everybody's, you know, up here anyway, where most of our listeners are, getting ready for the long weekend. I don't want to spend a ton of time on it. I got, you know, a little bit of something I want to say. I'm going to open the floor to Jill afterwards if she wants to say anything, and then we're going to move on to things that are hopefully a little more fun. To me, what happened in Vegas last Sunday night, horrific as it was, I'm sorry, is no longer surprising. And I posted on Facebook. Jill, you probably saw it this week.
I did. Yeah.
It's the gun debate in America, for me, in my opinion, has been over since Sandy Hook in December of 2012. Once enough Americans, not all Americans, once enough Americans and enough of their government officials decided we're comfortable with 20 dead 6- and 7-year-olds if we can keep our guns, the discussion's over. If that's not enough to make things change, to make you realize we got to change some stuff here. We got to figure some things out. And it's not about taking away guns. It's about responsible gun legislation and, you know. But to me, ever since then, you know, we've seen a lot of it. We've seen San Bernardino. We've seen the gay club that was shot up in Orlando last year. We've seen what happened in Manchester. I know that's not American, but this is becoming a deal. Like, to me, just because this is an old white guy doesn't mean it's not a terrorist attack, but to get a gun in America is not hard whether you're a terrorist or not. So that's kind of where these things intersect. To me, I'll continue to be saddened. I'll continue to be horrified, but I'm done being surprised. This is just kind of one of those things that, you know, no one's making an effort to fix it, so why be surprised by it?
Well, I did read your post this week, and I had dinner last night with Andy and his mother, and it kind of came up, you know, of course, in conversation. This just happened, and, you know, people are talking about it.
Sure.
And I actually kind of mentioned, I kind of plagiarized from you.
Yeah.
Stole your line about it kind of is done, because it made sense to me. It was done after Sandy Hook. If you're going to allow this, that made, so I kind of said that to his mother. We were having a conversation, and she said, I didn't realize this. I had no idea. Now, maybe you know, maybe this is, I mean, I'm not that up in my news, but that most Americans, maybe not most, a lot of Americans, some Americans, enough Americans believe that Sandy Hook, like, it's a conspiracy theory. That it didn't actually happen.
I have heard that. I've also heard there's a conspiracy theory about this one, that it didn't happen.
I don't know if it's something in the water down here. Like, I'm getting a little bit nervous to, like, eat and drink or just, like, breathe the air down here because
I'd be drinking.
When I hear some of these things,
yeah,
it's like, where does the stupid come from?
Right.
Like, I don't get it because it doesn't seem to happen in other developed countries. Like,
right.
It happens down here. So I don't understand what the problem is. In Canada, I'm not saying that we don't have our own sets of, you know.
Well, you probably didn't
violence.
Hear about it down there, but there was a terrorist attack in Edmonton the night before
I
Vegas.
I did hear about that.
But
I
it,
did
of course, is swept
it.
Under the rug. Now, it was far less loss of life. I don't believe in the end that there ended up being any loss of life, lots of injured and whatever, but it quickly gets swept under the rug by something as big as what happened in Vegas.
It does, but even if you look at both of them together, and I don't want to try and minimize what happened in Edmonton.
Sure.
But on a scale, what happens in the United States is just so much larger. It is just crazy to me.
Well, you're talking about a guy with a knife. When a guy with a knife can kill 59 people and injure 500 more from the 32nd floor of a hotel, we'll have a serious conversation about knife control, right?
Like, yes, absolutely. And that's not to say that for the people involved in
of
that
course.
Attack in Edmonton was not horrible.
Of course.
Absolutely it was. And I, like I said, I don't want to minimize that. But when you look at what's happening down in the United States, it is just an epidemic of violence. And I don't feel safe down here. I don't want to live here any longer than I really need to.
Right.
Not that I need to, I guess, but, you know, but
the overwhelming, like, the last study I saw say that 77% of people understand that 77% of Americans are prepared to see more stringent gun control, and 90% do believe that there is a problem right now. But the NRA has put so many people in power with their financial donations that no one with any power can actually will turn on them, right? Like, they got you elected to make sure that you don't do anything about guns. And that's a part of it, right? The ones who are for what's happening now, and I'm not saying that most people are for 59 dead. I'm saying most people are for gun control being exactly what it is right now. Or I'm not saying most people. I'm saying most of the people who are for gun control the way it is right now are in a serious position of power, right? And and that's a huge issue right now. And to me, I'm devastated like everybody else. I'm horrified. I can't imagine what these people are going through. I've been reading stories all week of the people who've been lost and this and that. But I'm not surprised. And I don't know how we can all pretend to still, you know, say we're surprised.
I don't either. I mean, it's not shocking. You see it on the news and you go, yeah, well, that's what happens. And it's every time the American people are shocked and
their thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers and this and that. And it's like, that does nothing. Fix it.
I mean,
as dumb as it sounds, the Jim Jefferies comedy
the show, comedian, yeah.
A comedian. Yep. I don't know, his bit there that he does on gun control in Australia, as much as it's supposed to be funny and comical, well, Australia had I don't want to call this a similar problem, but a similar problem.
Well, they had a massacre.
They did. Well,
96.
I think there was a number of them, though.
Yes.
I know there was one in particular.
But there was one.
They were having kind of a, yes.
There was one that put it over the edge. There. Yes.
Exactly. And then they said, no more guns. We're done.
Yes.
And now I believe the number is zero.
Yep.
That they've had since that. This is not like the problem is, like you said, it has to do with the people in power and the government, because this is just common sense. Like, typical everyday people understand that this is a problem and understand that there's a solution.
That's right.
It's an easy solution. It's not like we don't know the solution.
Right.
We all know the solution.
Well, and he, you know, I think it was you I saw on Facebook that had liked or whatever another Jim Jefferies thing this week that basically said, and this, it hurts and it sucks to be, but you let this happen, is what he said this week.
Of course.
After all of them that have happened and you've done nothing to change anything, you allowed this to happen. And that's really easy as a couple of Canadians to sit here and say, right?
Yes.
But it's the truth.
It is the truth, because this is, like, it's not surprising. This happens time and time and time and time again.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, what one's happening next week or next month or next year?
Or tomorrow.
Because there's one coming tomorrow. Yeah. But that's the thing. It's coming. The point
the definition
is,
of a mass shooting, my understanding is more than four people hit.
Four.
Not even killed.
That's, yeah.
And they average more than one a day.
Yeah.
Of those. I'm not talking about 59 and dead and 500 injured.
Exactly.
But more than four people involved in a gun incident is a mass shooting. And those happen literally every single day. That's fucking avoidable. I'm sorry.
And that's the thing. Just, hey, I don't get it. And I was watching a little thing on Facebook, and it was President Obama speaking. Now, this was from a few years ago.
Yeah.
But just the way he was speaking about how he can't change it.
Yeah.
And how it's not even that they can't they can't even study it. He can't let, you know, people study how this would even work or what this means or how even trying to put in not take away guns from people who are responsible gun owners. He says that the FBI, now I didn't know this. This was news to me. The FBI can see who is visiting ISIS type websites.
Sure.
And they know that these people can go and buy guns.
Yep.
And they cannot stop them.
Right.
And no, that is just, I don't care if you are in the NRA and are as pro-gun as it comes. If you've got people who are part of ISIS websites.
Right.
Then, and you say that it's okay, that every person in this country has the right to a gun. I mean, at some point that is just not logical. Like, well, I don't know. Like, again, what are you drinking? What are you smoking? I don't get it.
There was a fantastic tweet that someone quoted this week that said, you know, some moron stating, what if he had just driven a truck into the all these people at this concert? Would we now be having, you know, discussions on truck control? And the person quoted and goes, can you imagine having to register to get a truck, having to insure a truck, having to have then a license to drive that truck and a plate on that truck that identifies it to your name? Can you imagine such a laughable world? And you go, oh, fuck, right?
Like, yeah, I wasn't the same, you know, I don't think I saw that exact tweet, but I did see the same thing. Oh, yeah, we make people what? Get licenses to drive cars.
Yeah.
We don't make people get a license to get a gun. Like, this is just...
It's insanity.
It is actual insanity.
A guy, like, forget 9/11 for a second, because I get that's why, you know, for some reason gun purchases skyrocketed after 9/11. Do you remember the guy who was on a flight from Europe? This was right around Christmas time a few years ago. He was on a flight from Europe to Detroit and tried to blow up the plane with a shoe. He'd gotten some. And now, how often do people have to take their fucking shoes off going through airport security? Because one guy didn't even succeed, just tried to do it that way. And now we're all taking our shoes off at airport security. Yeah, how many gun deaths? And we're doing nothing about that.
Nothing about it.
Like, it's just, it's so warped. And you referenced Obama a minute, and I'm going to throw Trump out because to me, he's a sociopath. It wouldn't matter which party he's for. But you watch Obama throughout his presidency as these things kept mounting and kept mounting. And he's emotional during half of these addresses. Sometimes he's angry because he knows he can't do anything. Sometimes he's this happened with George W. Bush. Think what you want about him. He was clearly distraught when these sorts of things would happen, right? Republican, Democrat, it doesn't matter. But it's a Congress controlled by the NRA, and you can't change anything. So,
and that's exactly what this little bit that I was watching on Facebook was President Obama just saying, I can't do anything.
Right.
I can't, and it's not even that I can't change the, I can't even talk about changing, I can't even talk about just not taking the guns away from people, just taking it away from the people who really shouldn't have them.
Right.
I'm not saying get rid of them altogether. He said, that's not what I'm even talking about. I'm not saying take it away from responsible people who register and do all of the steps to follow. I can't even put steps in place to have responsible people own guns.
Well, that's another great line that I saw this week was just, you know, what we said was we need a conversation on guns and how to more responsibly distribute and license them. What you heard was let's take all of your guns away and melt them down into a statue of an NFL player kneeling during the anthem. Yeah. Like, it's just people
and that's,
are.
And that's exactly what this bit was about, was that he said, you know, I started and all you hear is, nope, you're taking my guns.
Yep.
And then he said, no point in my presidency did I say that.
No.
Did not say that. That did not come out of my mouth once. I did not say that I want to take guns away from every American.
Well, how about this very week where they're talking about making it easier to get a silencer? Why do you need a fucking silencer? What? Do you need it for hunting? No. Do you need it for murdering people? It would be helpful for murdering people.
It would be. Yes.
So, fuck, what are you doing? Why do you need those to be easier for... Oh, like it just... anyway, this is more time than I thought we would spend on this. It was a... let's move along here just for... Because I want to try to keep it light for people here as we move through our long weekend. So in that end, cheers to Canadian Thanksgiving. And we kind of carry on here. Jill, what do you know about Tom Petty? I assume because you're not a fan of good... music, you weren't
Fair
super
enough.
Familiar with Tom Petty.
I'm not super familiar with Tom Petty, no, but I do know that he
passed away this week, off and on. Apparently he was dead and then he wasn't and then he was again, according to I saw a great line on Twitter that was because people, it's so important out of these reporters to be the first to report something rather than being correct about reporting something, that there was a bunch of people saying he was dead, and his family committee was like, he's not dead. Like, he's struggling and it doesn't look good, but he's not dead. And I saw a great line that said, I don't know 100% if Tom Petty is, but I, or is dead, but I know journalism is, right? So,
well, that's, yeah, that's fair.
I'm sure you and most people are similar to me in the fact that, and I don't necessarily mean Tom Petty specific, but I think everyone has an artist kind of like that, where I would never have said Tom Petty was my favorite artist, but he's probably in my top five. If you went through my music collection, you would find probably more than I'm even aware of songs by Tom Petty, right? And I think there's a lot of people like that, that either have an artist like that, or, you know, I think in this case specifically about him, when you think of some of his hits in terms of Free Falling and Stand Me Up at the Gates of Hell and all the Running Down a Dream, like there's so many Tom Petty songs that everyone knows. This was kind of a bummer for, you know, a lot of people. And it's been a rough year for, you know, some of the musicians that we've continued to lose here, right? It's, do you think you have any Tom Petty songs in your music? I know I'm putting you on the spot. I don't expect you to.
I can tell you absolutely I do not.
Okay. Well, that's a shame.
Now my music consists of me listening to different Spotify playlists.
Sure.
So, you know, that's not fair. So maybe he could be on one or two of them, actually.
Yeah, okay.
Could be. That may not be fair, but
and Katy Perry did a duet at some point.
They might have, you know. Actually, yeah. You probably do.
I probably do know.
That's okay. But I don't have, like, lists of, you know, I don't have music on iTunes and things like most people do. I just kind of put on the hit list and call it a day.
So the reason I brought this up, it wasn't to have you disrespect a dead Tom Petty.
Good.
I mean, if you want to, I guess.
No, because that's what's going to happen if we keep going on this much longer.
I saw a game would be overstating it, but a thing online that was, quote this tweet. It was a lot of people were saying, and they were a little bit older than me, and this will be interesting because you're quite a bit younger than me, but a lot of people were saying that, you know, who grew up in the 70s or whatever, Tom Petty reminded me, whenever I hear a Tom Petty song, it reminds me of a high school dance. And the idea or the joke or the game, whatever, became quote this tweet with a song or a type of music that always reminds you of being uncomfortable or awkward or whatever at high school dances, right?
Oh, boy.
Now, this will be interesting because for you, high school was not as long ago as it was for me and certainly for some of our listeners. For me, what I can tell you is anything by Savage Garden was right around high school dance time for Matt. Truly, Madly, Deeply and things like that were, you know, songs where it was probably time for a little grade 9 grab ass, right? Or whatever was going to happen there. The other one was, Jill, and I don't even know if I did. I'm sure I did. I'm not trying to hide from it. Did you ever see the movie Notting Hill?
No.
Good for you.
No.
That's the right answer.
No, I don't think I have, no.
This would have been right around 2000, 2001. Who's that British actor that everybody likes? It was Hunt or something. No, we're taking a stab. Anyway, he was super famous there for a little while and was in a bunch of like romantic comedies and shit like that. This movie or this song was by Ronan Keating. It was called, I've lost it. Oh my God. I had it written down. I was like, I'm going to remember it. You don't need to bring that in here. It was called You Say It Best When You Say Nothing At All. And to me, there's a certain degree of that that's actually quite rude, but I think he's going for something else. Those songs remind me for sure. Also, the Macarena, but I don't think that will ever die. That wasn't actually came out while I was in high school. But is there anything that off the top of your head reminds you of like a certain place in time or a certain, you know, what when you think of a high school dance, what song do you think of? We went to the same high school just at different times. I know the dances were horribly lame, but
they were horrible. They were not good. They were not good at all. And unfortunately, you know what was really, or who was quite popular around my high school? Because kind of in that popular stage, but maybe starting to get not popular, but still popular enough to show up all the time. This is awful.
Uh-huh.
Still popular. I say this like, it's not, you know, but it's Justin Bieber.
Yeah. Like.
Mm-hmm.
Like baby?
Yep.
Okay. I gotta tell you,
like those ones.
That song's a little bit of a guilty pleasure. I gotta tell. It's catchy.
But he was right at that, you know, like didn't just start out,
right?
But was still like was hitting that like popular. But people were starting to go like, ah, he's over. Yeah, I'd hate, you know, this Bieber fever and
all
of this nonsense. And it was kind of moving on from there, but still to the point like. A lot of his songs showed up at our dances, even though people were like, no one likes Justin Bieber. He's terrible. But
isn't that weird, eh? Because he is the most like reviled, like, oh, my God, I don't like him. But he's at one point, and this is probably Christmas 2 years ago. He had the top three songs on Billboard, which no one had ever done since the Beatles. Like, it's not hard, or it's not easy to be 1, 2, and 3 on the Billboard Hot 100. And this was around the time of Sorry was one of the songs. Yeah. And, you know, people be. But he became bigger after you were done high school. But he was starting to kind of break through.
But it was still that point where people were like, I don't like Justin Bieber. And it seems like that's still the point. Nobody seems to like.
But you look around and everybody's like casually tapping their toe a little bit, right?
Everybody knows the words.
Yeah.
You don't get 1, 2, and 3 if people don't listen to your music.
That's right.
So, you know, it's like, everybody might say that, but I can tell you, he showed up at our dances a fair amount.
Funny, he's from not too far from where you and I went to high school.
Maybe that was it.
I was there, like, my high school dances were right in the thick of boy band mania. Like, at 98 Degrees, NSYNC, the Backstreet Boys, all of them, like, at their biggest, kind of, that 99 through 02 as I'm finishing high school, right? Like, so there was a ton of that in terms of songs you were actually supposed to, you know, dance to or whatever. But back in my day, Jill... There was a lot more, like now, nobody slow dances, right? Slow dancing is for your like grandparents and shit like that at weddings and stuff like that. And that's fine. But back when I was in high school, there was still a lot of slow dances and we had shit like Boys to Men and All for One and like people I'm sure you've never heard of. But Ricky Martin was a big deal. Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera were pumping out the jams.
You know, and we still had some of those older ones. You know, you'd hear a Backstreet Boys song every once in a while or something thrown in there. But, you know, honestly, I can say that at our dances with the group of students that were at the high school, a lot of it was just, like, what's popular right now.
Right, yeah.
And that was, like a specific example that I have.
That's kind of how it should be, right?
Of course it should be. I mean, because, like, a specific example that I just popped into my head was that song Black and Yellow.
God.
Right?
And black and yellow, black like, and yellow, black
yeah,
and yellow.
And I was like, God, what an awful song.
Because I really can't remember one other word other than
were there other words that went along with it? I thought it was just somebody saying, black and yellow. Like, I don't know. But that was something that, like, you know, and then we had some of those ones that were like, you know, well, Justin Bieber is obviously popular, but I can't pick at something that was like, or at least from my high school career, that's really, besides maybe Justin Bieber, that kind of is like that iconic, that kind of stuck with the times.
Do you remember Eiffel 65?
No.
Blue. I'm blue.
Yes. Yeah,
that was also a big deal. When I was
the fact that we're having a music conversation and I'm contributing is great. So,
yeah. We should talk more about Psy. People who don't know, when Jill used to come over and hang out, I wasn't allowed to listen to my music. We got to listen to Galaxy Hit List on the old Rogers box, and it was just terrible.
It was not all terrible. You liked some of them.
Did
and
I?
Sometimes when it was terrible, I even said we could change it because some of the songs were terrible.
And what would happen after about 3 songs? We would change it back.
Well, then we change it back because then my terrible song was over, and I'm sure something fantastic was on Galaxy Hit List at the time. Almost positive.
Yeah, no doubt. as we kind of start to, you know, wind down here or whatever, do you care that you're missing Canadian Thanksgiving? Like, I'm seeing a lot of love for Thanksgiving right now online and people talking. It's a little less, I don't know, it's not really a big deal, but it's less commercialized than Christmas and whatever. It's certainly less commercialized than the American Thanksgiving, but there's a lot that goes into American Thanksgiving with Black Friday, and there's obviously a bunch of NFL games that go on Thanksgiving. Do you miss it? Do you care? Was it always like, to me, this one's always fun. It's just kind of family and some drinks, and I love my mom's turkey, right? And so I may go home for Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Yeah, that took a nasty turn. I may hit that in editing later. But, you know, I like this one. And there's no gifts. There's no pressure. You just show up, enjoy each other's company, hopefully, and have a good meal.
I do like Thanksgiving. Now, my parents, my family is from Nova Scotia.
Right.
And I've been in Ontario for a very long time. And Thanksgiving is a holiday where we don't get a lot of time off.
Right.
So it's not very often. It's been a very long time since I've gone home for Thanksgiving to be with my family.
Right.
So Thanksgiving for me is not.
If I was a better friend, I'd have invited you to ours, I guess, now that I think about it.
But I have, because I've always lived in a city, whether it was Ottawa or Toronto, where I had family there.
Sure.
So I did always do Thanksgiving with family of some kind. It wasn't necessarily my immediate family. But even for my immediate family, you know, Thanksgiving, my father right now is in Las Vegas.
Interesting timing.
Interesting timing, yes. But he takes a trip to Vegas every year at this time with some of his buddies from the neighborhood. They go.
It's probably the absolute safest time to go.
That's what he said. He said, well, this is going to be the safest time. So,
like, I want to be, you're from Halifax or whatever. You know, I'm a terrible flyer. And what was it, 2-3 years ago, there was a plane bounced off the runway there or had trouble landing in a snowstorm and whatever. I want to be on the very next Air Canada flight into Halifax because I know that one's going to be perfect, right?
That like, one, yeah, there will be no missing there. No,
right.
Exactly. There was about 16 different kinds of, 600 different kinds of terrible that happened with that, you know, but I believe everybody was okay for
yes.
that flight. But that's not the point.
Right.
Thanksgiving. I was actually really looking forward to American Thanksgiving
or
being in the United States because it's such a big deal down here.
For sure.
More commercialized, but I think for the most part, it's a very big deal for the Americans down here. Maybe not so much for every Canadian. Seems like a much wider importance to Americans maybe than Canadians.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a fair thing to say
it's
necessarily.
It's so funny when you, like America, they like to tie it all back to that. What, you know, that first thing with the natives and the whatever,
yeah, and
it's
the pilgrims.
It was held at Fraggle Rock or wherever it was, and but then they went like 200 years without Thanksgiving, and we did the same thing here. But everyone likes to tie it all back together. It disappeared. It didn't last. It wasn't a thing until the Civil War, and Lincoln was like, all right, maybe this would be a thing where we can kind of unify back together and we all believe in these sorts of things. To try and tie it all the way back, like, and like I said, we try and do the same thing up here. It's not at all what we try to make it. You know, we had a very nice dinner with the natives, and then in both countries' cases, we wiped them the fuck out. So it maybe still isn't something that we should keep throwing in their faces. But, you know, it's different in both countries, but there are similarities where it maybe isn't as great as it, you know.
I was interested. You know, it's a big weekend down here.
Oh,
you
I agree.
A few days off, you get it. It's a huge weekend.
For sure.
Lots of football. Like, I was really excited to kind of experience that. Not that football's really my sport.
Yeah.
But, you know, I wanted to try. Like, you see all of the, you know, because, you know, in Canada, obviously, we get a lot of American TV shows.
Yes.
And, like, Thanksgiving is always a huge.
Yeah,
episode
for sure.
And every show is always a Thanksgiving. Like,
yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's always the Thanksgiving episode. And it's a big deal. And I was really excited to do that this year. But as it so happens,
Andy's out of town.
Yeah. American Thanksgiving. So that kind of puts a small or large damper on my first American Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So
well, I understand that there's still a lot of drinking over American Thanksgiving. You can still do that. Like that.
I'm going to hang out with, I think my mom is going to come down.
Oh, yeah.
Which is going to be fun, but I think I'm hanging out with Andy's mom and grandmother and aunt. So, not really sure how much
you hear the
drinking.
Way she says that, people? That's like upscale Nova Scotian right there.
Aunt.
My aunt.
So I'm not sure how much drinking or partying. I actually think we might go out for Thanksgiving. I don't think we want to actually cook anything.
Swiss Chalet does a delightful Thanksgiving dinner.
I quite like Swiss Chalet. Thank you very
Who
much.
Who doesn't? I don't even think they have it down there.
I believe some people, when I lived in Ottawa, kind of poo-pooed on my like of Swiss Chalet.
Fucking savages.
Who doesn't like chicken and fries?
What's wrong with you? We used to love Swiss Chalet when I was in college on Sundays because when you were horrifically hungover, you could kind of like, you didn't have to get out of bed. You would like text. I lived in a house with like five other guys. You would like text and put together this order. And we loved Swiss Chalet because it was the only place that would deliver mashed potatoes. And that would soak shit up real nice, right? Like you'd get whatever your meal was or whatever, and then extra mashed potatoes, please.
Wow, that's good. Well,
yeah. Worth keeping in mind. That's a pro tip for you college kids out there. Jill, I appreciate you doing this at the last possible second. Like I said, I was in a bit of a frantic mode and Jill came through at just the, like I said, literally the last 120 seconds.
I'm glad I could help.
And I'm glad you could help too. I'm glad you did this. Hopefully Captain Blowhard's wax job was as painful as it could possibly be. And
hope we got the results he was looking for. Right.
On that disgusting note, I hope the rest of you have a fantastic Thanksgiving. That's Audio Whiplash 89. Jill, thanks again. And we will talk to the rest of you down the road.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.